of our chairperson who has some other engagement. So she won't be with us today. I'll be the one who will be directing this meeting. My name is Pete Musambi Matebe. And we have also received an apology, a written one, of course, from the acting director general to say that she has accompanied the minister on some other engagements. And therefore, the delegation from the department will be led by Ma Mbasa. So I'll request the honorable members, because we also do have some new members in this committee that you might not be familiar with. So I'll request members to introduce themselves, and thereafter Mrs. Mbasa will then introduce her delegation. My Catherine?
Good morning. I'm Catherine Mabuza from the ANC. Thank you. Chairperson, I'm Dr. Sulani from the ANC.
Morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm J.J. Skotana from Mpumalanga, representing ANC. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, officials of the department. My name is Gareth Morgan from the Democratic Alliance.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you and the honorable members. I have a team here with me. Let me start by introducing my colleague Trevor Balsam, who was here last time for continuity's sake. We thought it would be useful for him to be here again.
Good morning.
And then we have the regional head from KwaZulu-Natal, Mr. Vusi Kubeka. Our director, who assists us with preparations for the committee, Baba Lomanyakanyaka. Director from the Gauteng region, Tami Mguni. Regional head from Gauteng, Mr. Henry Smith. And myself, I'm Tande Kambasa, responsible for the region. On my left, from Mpumalanga, is the regional head, Fanyana Mdamu. That's all from our side.
Honorable Member Luyende, you are welcome and you can introduce yourself.
I'm Zugile Luyende. I'm a member of this committee for the African National Congress. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I've already sent out an apology for the chairperson. Members, service delivery and institutional coordination is a critical component of the water sector. However, the importance of today's meeting is to understand the services offered by the regional and the national offices to our local government institutions. Therefore, without any waste of time, I would request the head of the delegation, Mbasa, to briefly take us through what she has to brief us about before handing over to the regional members.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. Basically, we have structured our presentation according to the letter that was sent to the acting DG. And, Chair, I think we are very much in line with what your expectations are. Let me start first by saying we have taken note of the comments that arose in the last meeting. Especially comments that are really looking at critically at how we approach some of our programs. We will be making use of some of the fresh ideas and different approaches that the committee has advocated in some areas. And we're hoping that at a later stage we will come back and have a discussion with the committee on how we would like to review our support to local government. And at that stage, I think it would be useful to also get input from the committee. There were various documents that were requested in the last meeting, the report on the blue drop, and the report on the bulk infrastructure program, and also the report on the Indaba. Yes, we do have those reports here. The green, it's actually the blue drop. I think it's through you. I think it's there's a mistake. It's actually the green. I mean the blue drop. It's not the green drop. Yes, we're still working on the green drop. Okay. Chair, at this stage, let me hand over to Musi Kubeka from KwaZulu-Natal to take us through the presentation. We have tried, Chair, to give you the context within which service delivery takes place in each region. You will appreciate that each region is unique. There are common challenges, but there are also unique challenges. So that really requires creativity on part of the regional head to deal with those challenges. But that will be coming through the presentations. Thank you.
Regional Director from KwaZulu-Natal.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable Chair, honorable members, good morning. And my colleague, I am going to give firstly a brief background on what the situation in KZN is before we get into the actual presentation. The first thing, Chair, you will pick up that from the slides, there is a difference in the official census figure in terms of the population of KwaZulu-Natal, which is regarded as over 10 million people, vis-a-vis the numbers that we use for planning purposes when we go and count a number of families with a lack of service. We are putting in 9.2 million people there, which is something that we're still working on in terms of linking our figures with all the other people that are collecting statistics around the figures. The second thing is that KZN, being a province that it is mainly rural, and it has probably just over 23-24% of backlog in terms of water service, water access by rural communities in particular, and around 40% in terms of sanitation, lack of access to sanitation. And as I've said, it's mainly rural. It is also characterized by a great deal of poverty in the various communities that we live with, and there's also a lot of drought in some of the communities. For instance, the five district municipalities in particular, Uthungulu, Umkhanyakude, Umzinyathi, Zululand, Ugu, and Sisonke. So mainly that is the life of KZN. KZN has got about as 14 water service authorities, 10 district municipalities, 3 local municipalities, and a Etegwini metro, one metro. In order to improve how we engage with the province, we have, as a region, engaged ourselves with the social and the economic clusters of the cabinet of the province, and we are a critical player in terms of giving directions where the food security and agrarian reform program and rural development program of the province is going. Now we'll then get straight into the presentation, Chair. This is the figure I was talking about in terms of the difference in numbers in terms of the census, and this is the list of of local municipalities found in the district municipalities that I've articulated, and the number of people in each WSA. What we've done, because the brief is that we need to talk about the support that we've given to local government and what we are going to give going forward. This slide is actually further articulated or explained in the following slide. But what is more important is we've grouped the areas of our intervention with regard to supporting local government to 4 areas. The one area is community water supply and sanitation program or delivery, which started in 1995 and ended in 2004 when the department was directly responsible for the implementation of the program. And we spent about 2.3 billion rand on that. and then the issue of capacity. We were very creative, and we created a model in terms of supporting local government by putting up capacity in municipalities to ensure that they are able to drive the water supply programs. And then there's the regional park service provision. What we've done here over the years, we've assisted in the creation of a water utility called Putugela Water, which is now struggling to survive, and it was initially started by four municipalities. We now have three remaining, and we've invested about 24 million rand in it. And then we had created a situation where what we call the municipal management services, where we are assisting municipalities in their systems of how to run the water business within their own municipalities, and we've invested about 9 million rand into that. This is the expansion on the particular focal areas that I've mentioned earlier on. The implementation of the community water supply and sanitation infrastructure program was done over that period across the province. We have supported local government in assessing their needs and in planning and in prioritization of projects and the implementation and subsequently the operations and maintenance, which coincided also with the transfer of water schemes to local government that were previously owned by the department, which it inherited from the old system of government. Here we have developed a program called the ISWIP, Implementation of Sustainable Water Institutions Program. 30 million rand was invested. We've created units within municipalities that became part of the organograms of municipalities so that they could have the capacity to do or to implement the Water Services Act. And Chair, you will recall that it was also before the municipal legislation, the Structures Act and the Systems Act, so there had to be some capacity available for these institutions to be able to operate. There were four staff members supported by this program in each municipality of the 13 municipalities except Etewin. There was training provided, and a unit was developed, and then they were then to take responsibility for the WSA functions of the municipality. As I've mentioned earlier on about the Tugela Water as an entity in the mold of water boards, was the municipalities in that area had said they do not need a water board itself. They wanted to create their own institutions in terms of the municipal legislation and the Water Services Act at the time. And therefore, we've assisted in ensuring that the needs were identified and consultation took place, and there was establishment of this institution and the operational cost. 24 million rand was invested into them, making sure that they operate. Chair, one needs to hasten to say that currently there are challenges because, as I said earlier on, one of the partner municipalities, Utugela District Municipality, had withdrawn from the institution. And then you are struggling with a situation where WSA do not want to fund the same institution that they've created themselves. Here, with regard to municipal management systems interventions, what we've done, we've guided and funded development of municipal management systems at WSA in terms of the monitoring and evaluation systems, asset management, infrastructure development, planning and implementation management. The Section 78 analysis that has been touted many a times, as much as it is contained in the Municipal Systems Act, but we have contributed as a department in ensuring that we assist municipalities to make decisions in terms of how they would want to run or perform a particular function. And then we've got now recently the Drinking Water Quality Monitoring and Management System, which has contributed to the release of the Blue Drop certification or report. We have institutions in KZN in the form of water boards. We've got Umgeni Water that supports or provides water to Etegwini, Umfuluzi local municipality, Umkhumundlovu, Sisonke and Ilembe district municipalities. Umhlathuze Water provides water to Umhlathuze LM, Uthungulu and Umkhanyakude district municipalities. And then you've got the Uthukela Water, which serves Newcastle, Amajuba and Umzinyathi. And Uthukela District Municipality is actually providing water to itself. We now have focused on re-engineering their capacity to deliver water. And then we've got the IGR structures or provincial structures. We're calling this thing the KwaZulu-Natal Water and Sanitation Committee. Role players are the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs in the province and the The Department of Agriculture plays a part. You've got WSA municipalities, water boards, and the department. And then we've got what we call the Water Sector Forum, the same players as above, and including the NGOs as well. Your civil society organizations play a part there. And then we've got the cabinet clusters that we participate in terms of planning for future program for the province. This is one example of the role that is played by water boards in supporting local government in the province. Here, Umngeni Water is a bulk water service provider in the province, supporting eThekwini, uMsunduzi, uMgungundlovu, and uSonke, have given us what they are doing in terms of planning for implementation of new infrastructure in their area of operation. What we have here is a number of projects starting from this financial year to the financial year 2014-2015, and then beyond that you've got financial year 16 to 38-39, because what you pick up is some of the municipalities in terms of their planning, they planned even beyond the deadline 2014. And here what the Umngeni Water has done is said this is what they can do themselves in terms of their investment from their own coffers in supporting local government. So these are the schemes that are mainly going to support the areas where they operate. This is the map of the area where, which they service. In terms of water resources, we're calling this Umngeni River System, because that is where they mainly are operating, and the and you find that all the blocks they are giving you the names of the schemes that are being invested on. And then this is the future, the planned and the ongoing interventions within the department or in the region in particular. Because we have structured ourselves into various functional areas, we've said we've got a regulatory responsibility. And how we play that part, we assist local government in planning and in ensuring that there is access to water services. We'll recall that now that the funding is done through the MIG, and therefore we have to assist local government in terms of how they plan for future service delivery in their areas and making sure that they've got sufficient capacity and policy for ensuring that there's free basic services available. The drinking water quality project is continuing, and the dealing with the quality, the effluent quality or the discharge of used water into the system. And then we've created a functional area called special programs, where we know that we've had the schools water and sanitation program and the clinics and water and sanitation program started in 2007 and still ongoing, hoping to finish it by the end of December. And the regional bulk infrastructure, that's where we come in with our colleagues in head office in ensuring that local government, as they deal with the MIG implementation of networks for infrastructure, they have capacity to ensure that their networks are linked to a better and sustainable source in terms of bulk infrastructure. And then we're dealing with the strategies to deal with water availability and the river health program. And then our engagement in terms of the agrarian revolution and rural development, that is integrated water resources management for food security and job creation, which is ongoing. In terms of planning, we have a structure that we call Sector Advisory Committee, headed by the department or by the region. We're dealing with technical, social, and financial feasibility of projects, the assessment of such, and we're ensuring compliance with national policies, norms, and standards, and we deal with recommending all water service projects for MIG funding and approval for the departmental funding projects. And then water service authorities have demonstrated in the past, and they're still continuing, they are allocating over 80% of their MIG funding on water and sanitation projects. So the rest of the other projects like transport and others get a part of the 20% that is remaining. What we've done for the last financial year going forward up to the end of March, we had actually approved or recommended for approval to the MIG structures in the province and nationally, about 65 feasibility reports for water projects valued at over 1.5 billion rand. And then for sanitation is about 42, valued at about 691 million rand. And for general management intervention activities like development of systems for monitoring and evaluation is about 9 million rand. What is happening on the management part, we've actually looked at a possibility in the region of creating a centralized center of excellence for design for the water schemes. So this is what municipalities have suggested, and then we're moving forward with such an approach. Access to water, there is a backlog of about 3.5 million people in 698,000 households. The required funding is just over 10 billion rand at RDP level, that is 25 liters per person a day and 200 meters per walking distance to a stand tap. The funding available is about a billion rand per annum from the municipal infrastructure grant. The capacity of local government or the WSA is over the years, starting from the year 2006-07. We have found that 88% of water service authorities make utilized for water services. It was about 935, and 97% of the WSA MIG allocation was utilized. Of the 88% of the 100% of the MIG funding to a particular municipality, or to all municipalities, 97% of that was utilized, that was allocated, which was allocated to water. And 07, 08, the figures are as they stand, 81% and 96%. 08, 09 was 81% and 98% was utilized. I'm not sure of the figure there, the total rand value of that. I can just pick that one up as I go along. I'll recall what the figure is. In terms of sanitation, the funding requirement is about 4.6 billion rand. Of the 966,000 households that are facing backlogs, and what is available is only 260 million rand per annum. And generally, when you look at the capacity of our local government to implement MIG projects, is that you find that they spend about 6 months implementing the project, and then the rest of the year they're doing nothing because, in terms of MIG, because funding is limited. So program is held back by lack of funding, and some municipalities only implementing for 6 months a year. You find that you give municipality A so much money, they spend it within 6 months, and then afterwards they wait until the next round of the allocation comes before they move on. The access to free basic services, all 14 WSAs have policies for free basic water provision. All WSAs are providing free basic water. Some of them are by default that people are not paying for services in areas where they're supposed to be paying. Some providing free basic water to all, not just to indigent, which somehow hampers their ability to recover the money that they need to reinvest in further development of water services infrastructure. And there are guidelines developed for free basic water, free basic services. And we are working with the Department of Local government, I mean cooperative governance and traditional affairs, and the provincial chapter of the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs to guide their special intervention program, because some of these municipalities need some assistance in driving this project, this program forward. Access to free basic water is limited by access to infrastructure. Where there is no infrastructure, of course you cannot have access to services. So this is why it is necessary to have a bulk infrastructure program running, and then everyone else will connect to that infrastructure. The operations assistance provided to WSAs to develop water service provider plans, monthly reporting by WSAs on WSP performance, water and wastewater quality reported monthly on the system on water quality management. If you look at the situation in terms of the drinking water quality, the country, the overall score in terms of the blue drop certification, you find that the overall score is about 66.7%, and for KZN it has been 83.5% comparatively speaking, if you look at what happens, and then all the sites are being monitored on a regular basis. And the samples, the appropriateness of samples that we take is about 66.4%. and the parameters within which we measure this ability of the municipality to provide safe drinking water quality is about 90.5%. And of all the samples, the quality of water in KZN is sitting at 77.1% versus 44% countrywide. The special programs, you've got the school water and sanitation. This is also supported by the Department of Education, and they've also got a parallel program running where they utilize water boards like Umgeni Water and Umhlatuze in implementing additional funding to this one that we have. 08, 09, and 09-10, we've had two allocations, 45.7 million rand and 72.3 million rand, respectively, over the two financial years. We are utilizing as well the water boards to do the implementation of this program, because they've got in-house capacity that's available, and the implementation is underway. We're hoping to finalize, to finish the implementation by the end of December this financial year. This is the concept of the regional bulk infrastructure program, where Trevor, my colleague, had actually reported extensively in the previous meeting on this one, and the report has been made available today. What is more critical is that Trevor spoke about 65 billion rand required for bulk, so 60 billion rand required for bulk infrastructure last week when we were here, and approximately 18 billion rand is required in KZN to ensure that everyone else's network is linked into the water availability in the area. And the challenge is mainly the availability of the water resource. Sometimes you can't link your systems to sustainable water resources, hence it is critical that you have that bulk infrastructure program in place. We are also looking at linking this with the provincial golden development strategy, so we need to be guided by the province in terms of where they would want to direct investment and other things in terms of economic growth, but notwithstanding the fact that our primary responsibility is to make sure that there is access for all in terms of water. So there is additional funding that is required in order for us to realize an objective of ensuring that people have access to water. The implementation of the regional bulk infrastructure program in KZN, 07-08 financial year, five schemes were started. They continued in 08-09, as you see the funding. And then in 09-10, seven schemes were started. So this financial year, we started about seven schemes. Next, it will be a list of all the schemes that we are working on. So you've got this list of schemes, Zululand District Municipality of Nongoma, Mandlakazi, and Umkhanyiro, they've got Hlabisa, very dry areas. Ugu, you've got Matulini, and Utumulu, you've got Mthonjaneni. So that is the list as it stands. Where we've said to be prioritized, Umkhanyabute district, we are actually saying also there is this possibility of getting the Jozini Ngwavuma water scheme in place there, subject to the availability of funding as one of the major projects that we're dealing with. The next one in the same area is Umtubatuba, because a lot of other investment drives are withdrawn as a result of non-availability of water in that area. And then you've got our commitment to the Dugudugu resettlement project. If you recall that indigenous forest that has been people who have settled in Umkhanyabute district. So the position as it stands now in terms of the allocation up to the year 2012-2013 is as it stands now here. So we have other projects that will be completed, for instance, this financial year, like the Nongoma one. The other one, Umatulin, has been completed the last financial year. So this is the situation in terms of the bulk infrastructure program. The availability of water in the province, there are studies as led by our head office in terms of the coastal metropolitan areas reconciliation strategy. We have to identify, evaluate, and prioritize interventions to reconcile the water requirements with the available water resources up to the year 2030. We started with the Umgeni River system, where Umsunduzi and Etegwini are placed, and the other neighboring areas. develop a flexible strategy to accommodate changes in use. Was we've got the biggest challenge of saying that there may be illegal water use that we still need to confirm. Was we're busy with the verification process in that area. The system right now is closed for further licensing as a result of the possible challenges. And then we might look at the possibility of saving water in that area through the Water Conservation and Demand Management Program. Here, the Ethekwini Metro is investing over 180 million rand to ensure that there is water conservation and demand management. We've contributed some money into that program to make sure that we partner them in their quest to make sure to ensure available water and savings throughout the Umgeni system. And then we need to integrate augmentation and bulk supply options. This is where we're looking at the various options for the dams going forward. This is the area that I'm talking about, the Umgeni River system area, which is characterized by the Ulowa Tugela supply area, the Umvoti supply, the Umdloti supply, and Umgeni supply area. So your Pietermaritzburg, Durban, Mandeni, Greater, and other areas are contained within this area of supply. We then have to focus on future studies. They have started and they will be completed by the end of 2010. We are actually looking at crisis areas like Kokstad, Greytown, Umtubatuba, Highflat, Ikopo, Bulwa, as they have been identified as priority areas in terms of the availability of water. And we are continuing with the screening of other priority areas as well. The challenges that we are faced with as a region right now and the sector in the province is there are challenges around the skills or the availability of skills, engineering and technical and general technical skills, scientific skills. Excuse me for the spelling there. CN Zamanje employees are enhancing the capacity. You will recall that there is a program called CN Zamanje in conjunction with the DPSA that deploys technical skills to various institutions, including municipalities, to try and enhance our ability to run with the service delivery program. That also assists us in terms of coordinating capacity for the other programs, like the special bulk program, the schools and water services program, and our regional bulk scheme implementation, which is currently lagging behind because of the lack of capacity. The issue of the WSA and WSP capacity, the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs in the province is actually looking at that, and we are assisting them, sitting together in that. The ability of the department to intervene at some point is highly questionable in a sense that even ourselves, we run short of some capacity or technical skills to be able to intervene at the time. Mainly this about the numbers of people that we need to be able to assist local government in ensuring that they deliver on their mandate. And that financial challenge in terms of the lack of sufficient funding, some WSAs have consistently utilized their allocations and can accelerate implementation if funds were made available. I've said earlier on some of them implement their projects very quickly and then they then stay for their better part of the financial year until new funding is made available. In essence, Chair, this is the scenario in KZN. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Members, I need your guidance here. Do we take questions and clarifications now, or should we take all the presentations and engage in discussions thereafter?
Now.
Now? As we get out of this now? What are other members saying? Proceed.
Chairperson, I was of an opinion that we write down all issues that are critical and need clarity from different regions. And after the presentation of all regions, then it's when we can engage one another on questions and input.
We've got a dissenting view here, and let's look at the time that we are still having. We should be out by 1 o'clock. We should be out by 1 o'clock.
I think, Chair, I support the view that let us give the department a reason to make their presentation so that we take note of whatever we want to engage them on. Because it has been the culture of this deliberation in the interest of time, because we might not have enough time. Because this presentation of KZN it has actually invited more issues to be raised. I had that view in the beginning that we deal with them, but it will be against the culture that we have been employing.
I know members like to ask many questions, and in the interest of time, let us take all the presentation. We'll just note your questions and then we'll ask them later, Mazi. So I hope that is a popular view. Then let's take the presentation from Gauteng, Mr. Henry Smith.
Government in this context.
Excuse me, Mr. Smith. I just want to make sure of something. You know, last week we were given a wrong document. So I want all the presenters to make sure that they give us the document that they will be presenting on. Okay.
Yes, Honorable Chair, I will present from the document.
Okay.
That gives the outline of the presentation. Gauteng, from the local government perspective, we have three of the six metros in the country: City of Tshwane, City of Johannesburg, and City of Ekurhuleni. Three district municipalities, and then the local municipalities. I would just like to point out that in the case of Gauteng, all the local municipalities have the water service authority status. In terms of the key driving forces in Gauteng, for the province, perhaps just highlight a few huge economic pressures, rapid urbanization, expectation of the population for higher levels of services, huge backlogs in informal settlements on basic services, and the environmental risks due to high economic growth and high population. The Gauteng is very small in terms of size, only 17,000 square kilometers, but it has a population of about 10.8 million people at this stage, and 97% of the population are living in the urban areas. Gauteng is the economic center of South Africa, as you all know. Although it's the smallest of the nine provinces, only 1.4% of the country's land area contributes approximately one-third to the country's GDP. As I said, highly urbanized and industrialized, mining dominates the western areas of Gauteng, manufacturing the eastern parts, coal, iron, and steel in the Southern Vaal region. Just to say that, the slide is just to show that the integration of water services and water resources in the provincial growth and development strategy and in the provincial water sector plan to address the medium-term objectives of government. These issues on the social, economic, spatial, and environmental are covered in the provincial growth and development strategy and the provincial water sector plan, and you will note that most of them are linked to water, or water is essential for most of those. Now, to turn to water security, this indicates the Gauteng population scenarios, a base scenario, the green line in the middle, a high scenario, and a low scenario. According to Stats South Africa, in 2008, we were on the high scenario. So the only reason I produced this is just to indicate that we are on a very high growth path in Gauteng in terms of population, and that drives everything. It's because of the economic growth in the economic heartland of the country, this economic engine, that we have high growth, and hence high growth in water demand. The area is served by the integrated Vaal River system. What you see on the slide there, all the arrows showing water imported into the area. The Vaal system is the most important bulk water supply system in the country, supplying water to 60% of the country's economy, 45% of the population, not just to Gauteng. Also important areas in Mpumalanga, Northwest Free State, the Northern Cape. And the system receives its water from the eastern side, from KwaZulu-Natal, and from the Lesotho, from the Orange River. Now, turning to water quality issues, we have, as depicted by the blue arrow in the center, we have good quality water from Vaal Dam that is supplied to Gauteng, but then we have return flows indicated by the red or brownish arrows with pollutants that are added by the users and mine discharge that flows into the Vaal barrage downstream of Vaal Dam and then down the river. And the important point to note here is that this water that's discharged, especially from the mine side, is not fit for the users downstream. It must be blended with good quality water that we release from Vaal Dam to dilute this problem. And then, of course, the water is used and further polluted by users downstream. Now, at this stage, all the water going down the Vaal River, downstream of Gauteng, is used. So none is spilling to the Orange River or getting lost to the system at this stage. However, the use in Gauteng is growing, and with that, the effluent use, the stream of effluent going down. Now, the use downstream is fairly stable. There's not much growth in water demand downstream. So soon, we will start spilling water, this water that's released downstream to the Orange and to the sea. And furthermore, we will be exporting our water quality problems to the Orange River users. Thus, we need to treat and to reuse this effluent in Gauteng, and in the process, save water that's released for dilution purposes, and in this way solve our water quality problems. From the studies that have been done to date, the water requirement scenarios that have been drawn up and been developed based on the population scenarios and industrial growth. And from these studies, it's been determined that we can save, in terms of future growth, in water demand, about 15% by implementing water conservation and demand management, just loss management, and even a further 15% by improved efficiency. The other issue when we look at the growth in water demand is the irrigation side. We've done validation studies on the actual irrigation water use from the upper part of the system, And from the information, it seems as though about 180 million cubic meters per year is being used illegally. Now, this poses a major risk to the system, and this must be eradicated. And all I want to illustrate with these next, this graph and the next two is really that the first one you see there is the situation if we only rely on dams to ensure enough water. The horizontal line at the bottom is, shows the existing availability of water from the system, and the dotted line that runs at the top shows the growth in requirements, including the current unlawful use, and a growth for that as well if you cannot control it. So it's a, call it a bit of a horror scenario. From that we can see that the dam options that we can implement, Polihadi from Lesotho and Jana from Tugela and Militain also from the Tugela, can only supply water until 2019, where the white arrow is shown at the bottom. And the red areas on the graph shows where we have shortages of water. So what that graph tells us is we're in very big trouble in water supply in the economic heartland of the country if it's not managed properly. And it also tells us that even if we do get water from the Lesotho Highlands project and from the Tugela, this will only last until about 2029, and then there will be again be shortages. Now, this is clearly not sustainable. The next slide shows what would happen if we were to eradicate all the unlawful use, and you can see it's a much better picture. Shortages are still there, still quite big, but it's more manageable. And the, you will see that the dams would now be able, if we were to just construct further dams, would be able to supply for a much longer period into the future. Then the initial deficit there would, of course, then be decreased significantly by introducing water conservation and demand management measures. And that is shown in this last slide, which shows that the situation with successful implementation of loss management with reducing the estimated use by or an estimated reduction of 15% in demand, we could bring the situation practically under control. And then we only need to construct the Lesotho Highlands project, and that could take us up to 2037 before we would need further augmentation. And the small remaining deficit there would then be addressed by the use of treated effluent. So in summary, from a water security point of view, we have to, and these measures have been presented to Cabinet and approved by Cabinet, and we have to eradicate the unlawful irrigation, and we have a program on that. It's quite a huge effort going into that at this stage. We have to implement water conservation and demand management, so it's not just a nice to have or a good thing that we'll do, it's absolutely essential to achieve it in order to safeguard our water security. We have to treat and use effluent. But we will start with mine water because that's where the most of the salts come from, and where the reason why we have to release dilution water to a large extent. And then, of course, we need to prepare for the next augmentation scheme, implement water quality management measures. Having sketched that background, now look at the current water affairs support programs and projects, and they're all listed there. I'll just try and briefly run through them. From a water and sanitation service delivery point of view, this gives the status based on a 2008 backlog study that we've done within the department together with the Department of Local Government in Gauteng and Selga. And the second column from the left shows the at that stage, the backlogs with water supply in formal areas. This was part of the meeting the targets program that we've been driving, and these targets have been met, and these houses have since been supplied. But the big problem, of course, is the column on the right, which tells us that there's over 600,000 houses, families in informal settlements that have a backlog, and the feasible way, apart from, of course, providing interim services at this stage, is to accelerate the housing program, the 2014 program. From the sanitation side, the picture is very much the same. Again, the second column from the left, the backlogs in the formal areas that was supposed to be addressed in the short term and that the local authorities are working on. And then again, in the order of 600,000 households in the informal settlements where there are temporary services in the interim. Still on water and sanitation service delivery, the MIG projects, it tells the nature of support, and in the next number of slides that will be the pattern, nature of support and our achievements and the benefiting water services authorities, given the number of projects. MIG projects, this is mostly bulk supply, bulk services under construction, and we register these projects and monitor the implementation. This slide depicts the MIG allocations to the various, to the three metros at the top and then the local municipalities and the percentage spent. But on the right-hand column, you'll see there's a different picture to what we have in KwaZulu-Natal, in that a much smaller percentage of the MIG funding is spent on water. And this, of course, is a concern, but the municipalities do have other priorities, and we try and influence in as much as we can prioritization of water projects. Then, still on water and sanitation service delivery, just from a housing perspective, shows the integration of housing and services provision programs and ensuring bulk water and sanitation services, and shows the number of households that's been supplied in the past year, and of course here the integrated approach to meet the 2014 targets with housing and related services. Meeting the basic services targets, again the nature of support is given and the achievements. This indicate the households that benefited from our program and the water services authorities. Then, as I indicated before, the water services or the water supply targets in the formal areas was met in 2008 and 2009, and the effort will now be directed towards informal areas in alignment with the housing 2014 planning. From these pictures, you can see one of the schemes that has been opened by the MEC for local government in Gauteng, and the Honorable Mayor of Tshwane. Schools and clinics, basic services, there we also provide substantial support, technical construction project management support. This, of course, is based on the available funding. We can only achieve what we get funding for. An indication of just some of the projects that have been completed in this program. The next one is the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Program. We have also technical support, plan funding, project management support. One I would just like to point out here, which is quite prominent, is the Mfuleni case. I think you're all aware of the of the bad publicity in the papers in Pelenia over a number of years now. And what we proposed from the department side is a regional sewage scheme to solve that problem in the long term. But it will cost in the order of 3,500 million rand. We have done a feasibility study for that, and we persisted with that because of the very large cost involved. The public-private partnership approach would probably have followed to mobilize funding and implementation of this project, and a project management office had been established in the office of the MEC of local government in Gauteng for this high-profile project. There are also some other projects shown there. In the interest of time, I'll move on. This slide depicts the estimated cost over the next 5 years for water and sanitation bulk services, water and sanitation bulk services requirements. Now, suffice to say, in terms of water supply, just under 8,000 million, and sanitation in the order of 13,000 million. These backlogs were quantified during a study that we've done, an assessment that we've done in the past, but we still need feasibility studies for these projects, or some of these projects rather. Then I've emphasized the absolute need in Gauteng. It's a matter of survival, it's not a matter of night to have. Water conservation and demand management. Now, talking about past support, we'll later on just be talking about future approaches. But on the we've made money available to various water services authorities to pursue this. For some reason, Chair, okay, I'll watch it. It switches off itself. I'm sorry. These projects vary in scope and nature. In the case of Mfuleni, for instance, for a fairly small investment of about 5 million, if I remember correctly, they have a huge savings, up to 20 million rand per annum, just by reducing pressure in the system. But there are others as well. And then part of the water conservation and demand management program is, of course, capacity building and training, as indicated under the achievements. And then the last one indicated there, the water conservation and demand management study, was one that was jointly undertaken by Water Affairs, DLG, and Rand Water. The potential savings from water conservation and demand management is indicated in the slide. We got this from the Bowl Reconciliation study that I discussed in the beginning, and from our own studies that augmented that between Water Affairs and DLG and Rand Water. And from this, you can see in terms of just non-revenue water savings, we can achieve quite substantial savings, certainly in the order or more of the 15% mentioned earlier. Okay. Then on drinking water quality management, next program, let's say that 90% of the water service authorities are loading the reports into our electronic system. And then the Blue Drop certification has been implemented, as you are aware. Just to give an indication of the performance in terms of the authorities that are submitting, and their performance in terms of drinking water quality, you'll see it's quite good at 93%. There are here and there some failures, but those are addressed individually with the municipalities, and it's normally with the smaller municipalities. This one gives you an indication. indication of the individual municipalities' performance. You see, the metros are doing quite well and some of the smaller municipalities not. It does not mean to say that the water is not suitable for drinking. The water is perfect for drinking. It's just that the Boudreaux certification is aimed at checking whether the systems are in place. And that is what one would like to see for your peace of mind. And that is where we're working on with the weaker municipalities and rendering assistance. This slide gives an indication of the Green Drop certification, or not certification, but assessment that's been completed to date and on which wastewater treatment works. From a wastewater treatment work perspective, from a different study that we've undertaken an assessment for Gauteng earlier, there are 51 wastewater treatment works. 50% of them are considered to be large, very large works. 67% of them are non-compliant in terms of some of the effluent standards, some more serious than others. But the important point to note here is 31% are operating beyond their design capacity, which is a major concern. And a further 16% are approaching the maximum capacity. So that doesn't paint a good picture. If you just recall the slide I had up earlier on the reuse of effluent and treatment of water, we can't afford to send bad quality water down our rivers. This slide just gives an indication, and if you look at the red or dark brown bars, indicate those that are either exceeding their design capacity, the wastewater treatment works, or are approaching it. So you can also see it from that point of view. Now, addressing these, we have to do it on a broad front. So I'll just give you one example, again, on Imfuleni, which is very topical. The Richbrite wastewater treatment plant had been performing very badly, and we've plowed money and a lot of effort into it from the department side, from DLG side, from provincial treasury, and there has been a big improvement, but they do not comply yet. And we've issued a directive after many actual years and then months towards the end of negotiations and undertakings, and the directive had been issued towards the end of last year. And I'm afraid the situation has now been reached where we have to take them to court. So we've laid a case against the case of Fulham. Then to move on to governmental relations and sector collaboration, pretty much the same approaches as in the other regions. The approach here is to align the water sector forum with the provincial intergovernmental relations forum. And I think you've seen similar slides before from some of the other regions. Just to indicate that at the bottom, we've got a number of task teams for various areas of interest or discipline that are driven by not just the department, but by our sector partners. We are, of course, involved in all of them, and most of the sector partners are involved in all of them. But we have champions for each of these task teams that then feed into a technical steering committee, from there to the Water Sector Forum, from where high-level issues are raised with the Premier's Coordinating Forum. And just to give you an indication of the major sector stakeholders, then just Gauteng specific, we have the sector forum. We work through the CELGA PEC to the Premier's Coordinating Forum, and we also had interactions with the provincial and local government portfolio committee on various aspects. Next area of support, capacity building. We sourced funding from local government CETA, about 5 million rand for a very important aspect for us, that is the process controllers for wastewater treatment works. I've emphasized the importance of beefing up the operation and maintenance, so we're giving that support. and we have various training initiatives going on various aspects, drinking water quality, MIC, the municipal information systems, technical reports and the like. And we're also deploying some of our own technicians, one per municipality, to assist with this. And we, of course, also looking at the integration of all the initiatives in terms of capacity building, ZALGA, SAISI, that's Institute of Civil Engineers, Department, DBSA, and the like. These are just some examples of training exercises going on the right, leak repair on the left, wastewater treatment plant briefing, water conservation, demand management, pressure reduction initiatives in the bottom left. Then three basic services in one stop shop. You see that quite a high percentage of the total number of households that includes three basic water and about 90% of the poor. But we need to revisit these figures because local government implementation on this in this respect has changed. Some of them are only supplying three basic water to indigents now, so we'll have to revisit these figures and have a different place on which we measure it. Then, of course, there's the one-stop shop update of bylaws, water service authority, water service provider contracts and so on, and also all three issues that are followed up and to attend to community issues. On 2020 Vision for Water, the Web for Water Education Program, this is just water awareness to the communities. Through school children mainly, and targeting learners. Depicted in these pictures, various activities, kids visiting a wastewater treatment plant, and sorry about that. Encourage creativity about water issues, and health and hygiene education, and the like. Monitoring, evaluation, and reporting. We ensure that we monitor all the programs of the department, align the operational plans with our strategic plan, and monitor projects, guard against under and over expenditure, and of course how many people are benefiting from the projects. Other community support, we're also assisting, very important, as you can see there, on various aspects. And these pictures depict river cleaning on the top left, the cold spray flowing through Ekurhuleni, Highway Park, and Chimbiza, and War on Poverty campaign on the top right, vegetable gardens for HIV AIDS orphans on the bottom left. This is donor funded, and the President of the EU visited the opening of this scheme, as you can see there. Our institutions in water service provision, Gauteng being small in area and having huge water boards like Rand Water providing 90% to the province, we don't have that many, mainly Rand Water, and then Mahalis Water for a small portion of the northern part of Gauteng. The bottom part is just to give you an indication of other institutions and some of the roles they're playing in service delivery in conjunction with them. Then we get to planned interventions. The first and very important one is water conservation and demand management. We have started a structured drive to achieve the required savings that has been indicated by studies, 15% that we need to achieve. We have availed 33 million rand to the city of Johannesburg based on their business plan and based very importantly on counterfunding from their side to kickstart this. You'll recall from a previous slide that the city of Johannesburg is by far the biggest potential in terms of total savings. This is now water conservation demand management through loss management, and it's indicated there in the slide what kinds of actions and interventions can be taken. The other part of water conservation demand management is improved efficiency. This is more difficult to achieve because you need a change in public behavior and public approach for those kind of actions. And it's very important, it may be, although it's more difficult to achieve, it may be more cost effective than some of the loss management measures where you've got to plow in a lot of capital to achieve. This indicates the seriousness of the situation that we're sitting with. In order to achieve the required savings, you will see that in the first number of years, we need to spend in the order of 600 million rand per annum in Gauteng, whereas shown in the block on the top right-hand side, the current spend is between 50 and 100 million by all the municipalities. So it's showing us that there's far too little funding being channeled into this. And even once the capital works have been done, there's an ongoing operation and maintenance cost, which is depicted by the red or the dark brown portion of the bars. And you see most of the ongoing cost would be made up of that, which is still much higher than what it's spent at the moment. Now, we're launching an initiative through the MEC of local government with the mayors and municipal managers on the 17th of September to get this going. They'll have the municipalities and they'll have to present their existing initiatives, and we will then have to discuss and agree on the way forward, buy-in and prioritization of this. Wastewater treatment works. This is just further interventions and just departmental spending on some of them shows there. The Impuleni I've referred to before, that is just for interim interventions. I already indicated earlier that for the long term we need the Sedibeng regional sewage scheme, so that will cost about 3,500 million rand. Then on high-level challenges and possible interventions, there are still some of the local municipalities, as I've indicated earlier, that we need direct engagement or further direct engagement with to beef up their systems in terms of drinking water quality. The big one I've just covered is, and also earlier, in terms of both water and then sanitation bulk infrastructure, I've indicated the huge amounts that's required for that. There's inadequate funding at this stage. And then local government skills and capacity, apart from training plant operators, also in other areas. I didn't add it, but no need to, well, perhaps just should mention again the imperative for implementing water conservation and demand management, achieving high-level buy-in and funding, and then, of course, non-compliance of wastewater treatment works, which I've just discussed, and the stronger regulatory action that will have to be followed there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. This was long, eh? From the richest province. So let's take Mr. Mtambo from my former province. How can you bring three copies knowing very well that we've got many members here?
I don't know how they feel, but they must be doing
that. So thank you, Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues. I'll be presenting the status quo and the support and intervention that Water Affairs is giving to the province of Mpumalanga. As we may be well aware, Mpumalanga is having 18 WSAs, which is the Water Service Authority, with three districts. And this is one province that has a population of about 4.3 million people. And it is situated in adjoining two neighboring countries, which is Swaziland and Mozambique. In that note, we also have a watershed court, which we also provide water to. We are working closely with Swaziland and providing water to Mozambique. The municipalities, the bigger part, portion of them, are mostly rural, looking at the Western Highveld around Dr. J.S. Moroka, Tembisile, coming down to Gertsebande district around Albert Luthuli, further down to Ehlanzeni, Nkomazi, Mbombela. Those are the municipalities that are in Bushbuck Region that are pure rural with no much economic activities that are taking place except around the Nkomazi region where it's farming. Now, the other issue with the province is the Midlands. Somewhere, the Highveld, we've got a lot of mining activities that are taking place there, which as I present going along is another contrary, because you will look at the endangering of the environment vis-a-vis the economic viability and which one comes first. I'll then move to the slide that is now talking of our past support to local government, whereby we've been quite involved in the provision and assisting municipalities in their development of their WSDP, which is the Water Service Development Plan, and whereby we are also involved even currently making inputs in the IDPs, Integrated Development Plans, related to water and sanitation issues, and we're supporting all municipalities, including the Bushbuck Ridge, which came in 2006 from Limpopo. And we're also now assisting some of the municipalities. We've done some pilots in terms of water conservation, water demand management, whereby we've done some pilot projects in Nkomazi, Dr. J.S. Moroka, Albert Luthuli, which some of these projects will be starting shortly. But we also had some of the outcomes that came from some of these projects somewhere around Nkomazi and also somewhere around Gertsebande. Now, we also have projects that already have started. As we go along, we'll report to them, which are covering the issues of rainwater harvesting and also food gardening and augmentation of the existing supply. There, we're talking of now the provision of the model bylaws. We approach almost all municipalities in terms of the development of bylaws. As you know, that prior to the promulgation of the municipalities being WSA, most of them didn't have the bylaws, especially in the former homeland areas. They had bylaws in the R293 towns, which were the former towns. Now, we've assisted most of these municipalities to make sure that there is enforcement in all the former homeland areas to make sure that they can be able to deal with water issues, water and sanitation issues. In Western Highveld, around Nkangala, we even had a program which was called the STRIP, which is a short-term intervention program, where we assisted municipalities like Tembisile to identify the leaks and also to come up with bylaws that will cover all those areas. As you know, that Dr. J.S. Moroka and Tembisile, there is no serious economic activity, and the only economic activity in those areas is only Pretoria, which is 100 kilometers away. As we move further, then we've got the free basic water, which is also implemented by most municipalities. And one can argue whether is it free basic water or it's free water, because some of this water is just supplied, not properly metered, and that then we can, there's an argument to say, is it free water or free basic water? And also now we are busy with the negotiations with some privately owned farmlands. We've got a lot of farmlands whereby the supply to those areas is always a problem. And according to the water services framework, there is a portion that allows us to enter into municipalities, to enter into intermediaries in terms of provision of water to farm areas. And some farm owners are agreeing to it, some are still hard, but this is a process that we're working in and with the...
Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. And then I will touch on the issues of Section 78. Section 78 is one process where in the province in Mpumalanga we've done all Section 78-1 in all the municipalities. What is now outstanding, that was the accessing of the capacity of the municipalities, whether they can be in the position to render the water and sanitation services. Most of the municipalities in Mpumalanga have indicated that they do have capacity, except for three, which was Nkomazi, Albert Luthuli, and Thabachewu, which came out clearly that these municipalities have limited capacity in terms of the provision of the service. What we are now awaiting from these municipalities is for them now to finalize the Section 78-2, which is taking council resolution and taking it out for stakeholder analysis and communication so that they can be able to look at external options. The next one then was the issue of the expungement of the Water Use Association. In these past few years, we've been able to deal with the olifants where we've been able to establish the Water Use Association in Sekukune, Ilanga, Tubase, and Loskop. That is under the olifant catchment. And then under the Komati catchment, we've been able to establish a Water Use Association from the irrigation port, which is the Upper Komati and Ilanga. Then in terms of bulk infrastructure, we've done some feasibility studies, and currently we are busy with some feasibility studies, whereby in some of these feasibility studies, we've been able to come up with projects that we are currently undertaking. But in the past few years, we've been able to assist also the Delmas municipality by making sure that we, at the meantime, put a package plant that will be able to purify water while awaiting the connection from Bloemendal, and we've been able to refurbish almost all the boreholes to increase the security of supply to the town, as boreholes are the only source of supply at this point in time. Current projects that we are busy with is Akonuk Nyaka Bulk Line, which is connecting people in Bushbuck Ridge from Shatale to Akonuk. The Bloemendal pipeline taking water from Gauteng into the Delmas, the Oshane scheme, which is the upgrading of the Oshane scheme in Bushbuck Ridge, taking water into the northern part of Mpumalanga, where there was a major cholera outbreak, and also the Mchechane bulk line, which is taking water to the new development settlements around Malelane in Komaz and Mchechane. In terms of capacity building, we have entered into negotiations with FET College around the province, whereby FET College, we will enter into an agreement with them that we identify process controllers within the province, which will then be trained with our own modules to become process controllers, and they can be utilized in most of our water and wastewater schemes. The discussion is at an advanced stage whereby now the FETs are looking at the modules with the CETAs so that these modules that will be done by the FET College will be CETA accredited. I think we should be able to be concluding this agreement in a few months' time from now, because these are discussions that started from last year. In terms of civil society organization and training in basic project management and basic computer skills, we've got 21 civil society members that spread across the three districts, that we've already trained in terms of the basic project management and the computer skills in terms of wastewater and water management. And then the issues of sector collaboration in the province in terms of the IGR structures, we are communicating with the province and other stakeholders to, I'll start from the top, we've got the PCF, which is the Premier Coordinating Forum, where we sit on a monthly basis and we do present if there are any issues that need to be informed to the province or the local municipalities, where all MECs sit with the Premier chairing, with all the municipalities sitting, municipal managers and line function heads, where we discuss issues that are of a problem. We also have lower structures whereby we've got a MUNIMEC where we sit with the MEC of Cooperative Governance, where we discuss line function departments with those relevant municipal managers and deal with issues of service delivery. At a district level, we do have sector collaboration forums where they are happening at the district level, but they fit into all these structures. Now, in terms of customer care and the establishment of care offices, we have already established 4 customer care offices in 4 villages in Bushbuck Ridge. We are now finalizing the issue of cooperative with the municipalities, whereby we've been able to first investigate the collection level of the community, and we've been able to then come up with a model of collection of the revenue, and we've been able to set up an office within that village where any water problem can be resolved. We've been able to train the local people of managing their own water, and now we are just waiting for the service level agreement between that community and the municipality in terms of revenue collection and support and etc. That is four villages in Bushbuck Ridge and about 6 villages in Komazi Municipality. In terms of operation and maintenance, we are in the process of developing operational manuals in all those schemes that we've transferred the schemes, and also we are assisting them in terms of the refurbishment of the schemes that we've transferred. We've transferred schemes to almost 7 municipalities in the province, and also assisting them with human resource capacity skills development and training. In Mpumalanga, for water quality, which is the Blue Drop Green Drop certification, one municipality managed to get the Blue Drop certification, which was Mbombela in terms of the Primcop, Masulu, and the Nelspruit town itself. And this posed a bit of a challenge to us to say that it means most of these municipalities, the 17 WSAs, our water quality, there's still some issues in between. Doesn't mean that the water quality doesn't comply, but there's still some gap that makes it not to reach the Blue Drop, Green Drop certification. And in terms of the drought relief, we are working very close with the province. I think you might have seen that the province has given 10 million, which they are looking at adding up to all those areas where there is no water supply. Some of these areas, we're looking at where there have been some, a bit of uprising around the Mkondo area, in Petri Tief, where Wangema areas. There's been people staying on farmland. Some of these farmlands have been claimed, and they don't have any kind of supply. We've then decided with the province that, supply, we will provide boreholes to all those areas which are in dire need of water supply. And that project, I think, is due for completion somewhere around October. Contractors are on the ground as we speak. Then in terms of National Youth Service, we are busy also the development of youth in process in terms of control, wastewater control, and processors, and that's the one project that we are doing with the FETs, and our target is to target the youth. We're also busy with the refurbishment of the wastewater through the Water for All project, which was a project started by the province, including ourselves, where we were able to identify all the water needs in the province and came out with a blueprint document that said, what do we need as Mpumalanga to solve all our backlogs in terms of water supply and sanitation? That project then came and it became a flagship, a premier flagship project, which we now call it a Water for All. In terms of the direct funding from DWAR, we are also refurbishing about 91 boreholes, mainly in Bushbuck Ridge, whereby we are also doing the disinfection of those boreholes, because of late we just discovered that borehole water is no more as safe as it used to be. Some borehole water now, we discover that they are somehow disinfected, especially in those areas where you've got aquifer type of rocks. One other development is also the development, which is also the socio-economic development happening around Bushbuck Ridge, the development of making use of the dam, which is Inyaka Dam, for activities, for hotel, for, I think, leisure activities, and also around Matamu Lake, which is former called the Trikopis Dam, that is also assisting the municipalities in that. In terms of regulation, there's been no direct directive to municipalities, but we've been able to issue some non-compliance, which is a notice to municipalities. These directives have been issued to these municipalities, Emalahleni, Nkungwini, Kukune, Mchindi, Bushbuck Ridge, Albert Tumkomazi, all those that are listed there. We've been able to issue them with directives. Some of these directives are non-metering of raw bulk water, going through to the effluent discharge of the wastewater and failing of the sewer pump, whereby they overflow to the streams, and we've been able to deal with that. But in terms of criminal cases that we have opened, we've been able, no municipality will take a step up to that level, but except for some privately owned, like the Delmas police station, we've got MPC Chickens, where we've opened the case with them, if the case is being investigated as we speak. And also in Marble Hall police station, we've opened a case for Jan Porters for their unlawful use of water, and the docket is with the prosecutor as we speak. In Varam Pass police station, is the case Boderay for unlawful water use and also unauthorized building of a dam, and the dockets are with the prosecutor. Probertsdal police station, we've opened the case for Mr. Dion Mayer for unauthorized building of a dam, and the case is with the prosecutor. And again, in Office police station for Mr. Epps, and that is for a small piggery farm for pollution. And that Babatron police station, AP Force and CN for unlawful building of a dam, and that case is with the police. As we move further, the one program that is so far having a bit of challenges in the province, but is also going forward, is the Working for Water program, whereby we've been able to create within almost about 10,900 hectares, which is 10,914 hectares, and that has created jobs to about 2,815. And out of that, 1,400 of those jobs, 1,700 were females. And out of the 1,700 females, we had about 647 were youth, and 168 of that were disabled people. And these jobs are ongoing, but now we do have challenges with the contractors that have been exited, that they demand not to be exited, to remain in the contract as an evergreen contract forever. Challenges that we are facing again in Mpumalanga, I think, is the issue that I touched on, the issue of refurbishment of the plant, and also municipalities' failure to report on terms of water quality. Remember, our role is a regulatory role. Municipalities will have to make sure that they do water quality monitoring and they report in our electronic system. That report, we don't get it properly from time to time, but we still continue as a department to make sure that our regulatory and monitoring role do take place. And what we also discovered is that we are working on a program to register all the plants that they have. Most of them do not have authorization. And also the issue of skills such as this, most of our plants, they don't have the necessary skills. The vacancy rate of the operation there is about more than 70%. And then the one issue in terms of the development of projects is the lack of planning. And also we're looking at the ring fencing of certain funding, the equitable share and the MIG allocation to be able to deal with these issues. Then I'll touch a little bit, as the question arose last week, on the issue of Delmas. Where, what is the problem with Delmas? Can I allude to it a little bit? In Delmas, so far the department has spent, even coming from the last financial year, about 18 million in terms of the development of a temporal purification plant that will produce about 12 megaliters. And then we also presented recommendations to Delmas municipality in terms of the structure that they need to have for the provision of water. As we stand now, the case is in terms of diarrhea that started somewhere beginning of August. We are standing at 1,664 as of the 25th of August. These are diarrhea cases with no hospitalization. We've investigated some of these issues and we discovered that most of these cases, some of them, came to the very MPC chicken that we've opened the case for, whereby they are doing the abattoir for chickens. Their borehole was detected with contaminated water, and the people working there were drinking the very same water. We've been able then to assist them and deal with the problem. The following that there'll be just the accumulating figures of the cases that have been seen by the various institutions, including clinics and hospitals. But the worrying factor is that if you look at that, you find that C.J. Williams Pharmacy is always having high numbers. When clinics numbers are dropping, that pharmacy is having high numbers. That was a question that we are having because we requested them that if someone comes for medication crying of a diarrhea, please keep those figures. But what is challenging now is that their numbers are going high. I cannot speculate what could be the reason, but it's a concern to us. If you can look at the last figures of the 25th, starting from the 23rd, you can see that some of the clinics did not see any people, and some of these numbers that were high were coming from the C.J. Williams. And again, on the last day on the, of these results, the 25th, the clinics were seeing very low numbers, which are quite within the range. But you look at C.J. Williams and came up, which is a pharmacy, with high numbers of people presenting with diarrhea, which is very questionable. And then some of the issues that we picked up was the poor water quality and non-compliance of wastewater discharge, and also the issue of, in the province now, looking as a whole, the funding of the backlog, whereby we do have funding for this financial year in the region of about $360 million. And in terms of the Water for All program, we are having a shortfall in terms of the 3 MTF of about $1.4 billion. And then the sanitation currently in the province, we are sitting in a clean 481 households as we speak, and the target was 2010, and it is very clear that we are far from reaching the target in terms of sanitation. But in terms of water, we're sitting at 173, but as you know, honorable members, that we are dealing with a moving target, which from time to time is increasing and moving. Some of our recommendations as a department was the strengthening of the IGR with cooperative governance and also other institutions that are dealing in water and wastewater. And then the increased collaboration in the provincial government, which we are now being given. Also, we are sitting in the cluster committees on a weekly basis. As I speak today, they are starting with the Khutla, which Cabinet the Khutla, which I missed. I will only join them tomorrow up to Friday. And also the reconfiguration of the Bushbuck Rich Water Board, which is a question that came through consultation with the province. I would like them to touch a little bit on how some of the recommendation, which will then allude to the proposal that has been taken by the province in terms of the water board. We are also engaging the province to intervene with the water service authorities where failures are being realized and where service delivery is being threatened. And then we also capacitating ourselves to increase our regulations to make sure that some of these municipalities in the near future, those not complying, we might be taking them to court in the near future. And then also the implementation and recommendation of the ministerial task team committee. We've done a report which is sitting now with the Premier and gone to the Minister about some of these hotspots and the community unrest that were happening in the province. We've done a full survey. That report is not officially out to all municipalities in the province, which was conducted by the Cooperative Governance National. And also the supporting of municipalities to get authorization of their plants, we're doing that. And also the issue then that I'll talk to, which is the water management institution. In terms of the Bushbuck Rich Water Board, the province has taken a decision, not that the department doesn't disestablish the water board, but we rebuild the water board, Bushbuck Rich Water Board, to take the responsibility of Eswatini province, providing bulk water to all municipalities in Eswatini. That will then mean, number one, Eswatini district, the district of Eswatini. Now, you will see the next page. It's a sort of a diagram that talks to the three districts, which we talk of Nkangala district, whereby rainwater is already approached, that they will take responsibility of bulk water in Nkangala district. Then Ekandeni district will have Bushbuck Rich Water, which the name has been submitted for a change, which the future name will be called Mpumalanga Water Board. And then, as an interim, we are already engaging Gertsibande district. We engage in Umhlathuze Water because of their involvement in terms of their catchment management that is falling under them. And already they've laid their hands in the district by building a laboratory for the district, which we are opening by the end of this month. This was the province then has also emphasized that they'll be taking the leadership role in terms of the signing of the service level agreement with all municipalities in terms of bulk supply, and that also we need to start looking at the MIG funding, that the MIG funding get ring-fenced to go straight to these water boards for bulk infrastructure development. As we might have seen, that some of these funding, they don't, municipalities are unable to use all the money, so we will be able to channel that, including the equitable share. And that these water boards also, as they are functioning in the three districts, the premier is looking forward that we have one water board in the future in the province, which will be then taking over from time to time to become in the next 5 years or so. This is so far the presentation about the status of Mpumalanga, and we will continue being the pioneering spirit to improve the lives of our people in the province. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mtambo. Yeah, I think we still have more than an hour, so members can now ask whatever questions they want to ask. So I will then now open for questions, clarifications, and comments from the members. I've noted Mr. Morgan, Luyenge, and Mr. Tosana in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me say thank you very, very much to the three provinces. The level of detail is very, very impressive, and I appreciate the effort that has gone into those presentations, so thank you very, very much. Let me then, you know, having said that, probably ask for some even more detail. Being from the province of KwaZulu-Natal, I have a particular interest in KwaZulu-Natal, and I want to look. I know you raised Kokstad as a crisis area, so I want to talk about it a little bit more. Sort of in my travels around the province, I've discovered in more recent months some quite severe problems down there. Let me just raise them with you now for your comments. I want to know if there is a service level agreement between Sisonke District Municipality and the Greater Kokstad Municipality. The Crystal Springs Dam down in Kokstad Way has been, look, I haven't seen it in the last month or so, but has been particularly empty because of the large amount of withdrawals from it. It doesn't really have the ability to replenish itself easily. So are there alternative ways of bringing in bulk water that are being investigated and or implemented for that particular area? And then also, having walked around some of those areas like Sayamoya and Horseshoe in and around Kokstad, the number of sewage leaks are quite severe, sewage flowing down streets and the like. Now, one of the problems there, of course, is that there have been quite a few water cuts have been quite frequent, which means that the actual sewer lines often get blocked because they're not getting frequently flushed in that particular area. So those are some issues that I raised particular about that area, and if in your answer you could expand on what you called in your presentation you know, some crisis interventions, and whether in fact I've highlighted actually some of those things that are on your agenda with regards to Greater Kokstad in particular and Sifonke District in general. Then I am interested. It was a percentage given in the Gauteng presentation, and I'm interested in asking whether both KZN and Mpumalanga have access to a figure on the percentage of wastewater treatment plants that are operating beyond their capacity. If you don't have that percentage, some indication of the situation as it is at the moment. Then I'm interested from the Mpumalanga point of view, but perhaps other people may want to comment on it as well. And you raised an interesting point, and it's actually, you might be aware, there's a question for oral reply that's often in the House on water boards. And one of the things that has always flummoxed me about water boards is, on the one hand, water boards often struggle to get municipalities to pay and to pay on time, and so they are somewhat hamstrung by that. And on the other hand, the Minister of Water Affairs has the ability to determine the ultimate tariff introduced on the 1st of July, and water boards would put in their suggestions, the vast majority of water boards this year had all their tariff requests, I won't say slashed, some of them were slashed certainly, but reduced significantly, which has implications for capital expansion plans. Now, you, sir, said that there was a possibility of using the MIG grant here, because one of the things that water boards have told this committee in recent months, and they've appeared before us probably at least four meetings so far, is that really their only source of income is the money they generate from those who buy the water from them. And that it's not that there are no transfers from national departments, Treasury or the Department of Water, but they are certainly very limited. And if you could maybe just expand a little bit on the MIG and the ring fencing there as an alternative. I'm intrigued by it. I think it's a good idea, possibly because also water boards, from an implementation point of view, presumably, and I'm sure it's different for different boards, have certain capacities with regards to tendering and expanding and maintaining water infrastructure that some municipalities won't have. So I am interested in that. And then Gauteng, and then I'll hand over to my colleagues. It's one of my pet subjects, and it is a subject which is very much in the news, and that is the issue of the possible decant of acid mine drainage within Gauteng. I mean, some news reports say that in places it's a meter below the surface waiting to decant. That may or may not be true, but what is certainly true is that it's a very, very serious problem, and that it has the opportunity to even further decrease the quality of water that would require even more dilution. So I am interested in if you could provide us with some more comments on the proposals to treat acid mine drainage, particularly the proposal on the table from the Western Utilities Corporation to treat and to presumably sell on to Rand Water. Where is that at the moment? I have been asked before by stakeholders, particularly on the West Rand, that the Western Utilities Corporation was finding it difficult to obviously negotiate with Rand Water because they wanted some kind of support from the Department of Water Affairs so at least they could enter into negotiations. And I had previously written to the DG, Pam Yarko, before she went on special leave about this particular issue, but haven't yet actually got a reply. So that is the one issue. Presumably, that is a partial solution to acid mine drainage anyway. No doubt, it's an important intervention because it would release, would reduce the decant. And then the related question really is, look, a lot of this is historic, and I accept that, in terms of acid mine drainage from mines going back a very, very long time. And punishing transgressors is in that respect difficult, to say the least. But then what, and taking into account the fact that actually, you know, the economy is in a fairly bad way, and we would probably put many mines out of business, if especially marginal ones, if they all had to reduce their, and they should, I'd say, all had to reduce their discharges to a suitable standard. Having said that, what initiatives are you taking, of course, to engage with mines at the moment to make sure that, and I'm talking about Gauteng and maybe even Mpumalanga wants to comment as well, to make sure that the effluent discharge is of an acceptable quality. That is enough for now, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, let me concur with the view by the Honourable Morgan regarding the explicit and scrupulous reporting that has been made by the three presenters. Well done, Dr. Wood. The question that I have for KZN is the non-mentioning of the incorporated Umzimkhulu in Sisonke. Because I have an understanding that Umzimkhulu is 99% rural, and the need of water there is so huge. So I'm worried that there is nothing that has been spoken about them. And also, at Gauteng now, the infrastructure capacity and the quality of water provision, we need to maybe get an understanding as to whether the state of the infrastructure that exists in Gauteng is actually responding to the demand of water there. Because Gauteng has got huge dams and rivers. With the question of the environmental impact assessment of the provision, as it has been indicated in Mpumalanga, that Mpumalanga is doing something about that. They have identified the culprit. But what is lacking is the sanction. So if there is nothing with regard to the sanction upon the culprits in terms of the pollution of the of this commodity, it's a matter that we need the department to breathe on. And lastly, Chair, I mean all of them. All of the presenters, I would want them to maybe indicate as to who actually is the major consumer for water, especially in Gauteng and KZN, because KZN is also rural in terms of its customers for water provision. So, yeah, let me end this.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, the presentations, they were so good in such a way that if the implementation is equal to these presentations, then we can go far, and we can be able to achieve our objective as a country in terms of delivering water. Chairperson, let me just ask a few questions to KZN. I never heard anything in relation to community involvement. How do we involve structures and the masses in terms of the programs of water as KZN? And secondly, the recruitment part of it. How do you recruit people to join this sector? Because this is a very crucial sector, and I should think this question must go to all presenters here from the various regions. How do they recruit? Because as a country, we lack skills in terms of implementation of water programs, if we can be cleared about the recruitment thereof. And also the capacity building on technical skills. I should think we need to be cleared by all regions, in fact. That specific skills, in skill in particular, technical, in terms of assisting municipalities to deliver the service of water and manage the service thereof. And also a case that, and I never heard the issue of how do they alleviate poverty in terms of their programs, particularly in the rural areas where we've got people who are surviving under very serious poverty in those areas. And also, can we just get a plan about those people in the rural areas in KZN who are lacking water? How do you bring them in your schemes or your programs in order to achieve the objective of this country in terms of delivering water? Chairperson, I'll go to Mpumalanga, my province. You'll pardon me, my friend, because there are a lot of issues that I'm going to talk about here. In Mpumalanga, mostly we've got a shortage of water in areas like Thembisile, as a municipality, villages like Bundu, Verena, the Fontaine, as you name them. And also, I want to know what are your plans together with those municipalities in order to overcome this problem. And also the possibility of building a purification plant at Thembisile and Sekhukhune district, for that matter. What are your plans? And also, you must couple with the shortage of water at Sekhukhune in some areas. Chairperson, can we just be clarified about the issue of bushbuck rich in terms of suspension of the CEO, and how far are they with this problem? Because you can't continue with the suspension without coming up with a result. You must suspend and investigate and charge or do something that will be in progress. We can't just work on things that does not have a progress. Chairperson, the department has given the municipalities to install meters in various municipalities. I'll mention maybe two, Thembisile and Dr. Mrog. But there is a water leakage there. As a region, what are your plans in assisting those municipalities to stop those leakages? Because we are losing a lot of water as department. And sanitation, there were VIP toilets in most areas in various municipalities, but seemingly that program is no more continuing. What's happening? Can you just be brief? Because in some areas, the project was implemented part of the houses, and some of the houses they did not get those toilets. Can you just be? And also, We need a clarity about the bucket system, particularly in Kasivani. There were areas who were using bucket system. How far have you gone in order to implement that program. And this, and also I'm interested on issues of boreholes. How do you service these boreholes in order to cap a future problem? Because you'll find there are boreholes, but you don't have, in fact, the monitoring mechanism in terms of servicing those boreholes. And also in assisting the people who are doing food gardening, do you have a plan or a program in assisting them with boreholes or so on? And the progress of cases that you've spoken about, you talked about many cases, but can you a little bit explain the progress thereof on those cases? You can't have cases without any progress. You must have a progress on cases. How far are you now? And lastly, Chairperson, I'm a little bit concerned about the statistics of Dairu in Delmas. I should think if that problem still continues, even if you say you have explained to us that there is something that you have picked up as a problem, and I don't know what to do, but I should think we must speed up the process. People will be dying. It's not a nice thing, really. And Chairperson, another thing that the presenter has mentioned about Mpumalanga is that the issue of making bushbuck ridge to be Mpumalanga board. And the presenter has mentioned three boards that will be responsible in delivering water. Now my question is Mpumalanga trying to macro-manage the areas in terms of delivering water? Because when you check the rainwater, it was given a task of assisting Tembisile, Moroka, Delmas, in other areas, but we still have many problems or many challenges. We will maybe this process that you are trying to make us in Mpumalanga together with the province going to assist in addressing this issue of water problem. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you for the presentation from the three provinces. KwaZulu-Natal, well, some of the questions I was to ask are being asked by my, I won't waste time, except that I just have interest when it comes to KwaZulu-Natal. Let's talk about the rural areas. I just want to know whether do you have the not semi rural areas from KwaZulu-Natal? I mean those who get their water from the river, not from the tap. I have no idea. I'm born and bred in KwaZulu-Natal. But I just have that interest because there is a big complaint about the people from the rural areas, and they are just next to my heart. It is unfortunate because I was born from those areas, you know. They still suffer scarcity of water, water that is not clean. They have to drink, use it for their cooking, and the rest. But now, maybe this is just an opportunity for me to get it from the horse's mouth. That is KwaZulu-Natal. And one other thing which I would like to know, I'm very, you know, blank when it comes to it. It is the relationship between the municipalities and the trust farms, which, I mean, places like Umbabane, Ntendeka, Blowbotch, any of these, you name them. I just want to know
the relationship, more especially when it comes to services. That is KZN. Gauteng, I'm listening all the time. Mfuleni has problems. But at times, I don't just get it right. What problems are those? What are the causes of those problems? That is Gauteng. Mfuleni, because, you know, everybody is saying things. And that is a big municipality, as far as I know, which must be running its things smoothly. And you know, when we were young children, girls and boys, we used to know that, hey, we get water from the Baal Dam, you know. But now, well, I've just got it right that we got water from KZN, and it was mentioned that Utugela is supplying Utugela River, from the Utugela River, if I'm not mistaken. And then, but I did not hear about Lesotho. And how many dams that supply Gauteng with water? Dam or rivers? Well, I just took interest. It was, by the way, Jefferson, that there was an employment. There are projects. They are running projects, which is very, very good, and it is really wonderful. They are running projects, and they've got 20 women, employment of 20 women, which I don't know when you, 20 women, how many, the number of the whole employment, how many are they? Maybe it's 20 as against 200. I don't know. Because it might happen. I'm just having interest because women, yeah, it's still the month. Don't worry. Up to December. Don't take it easy. Up to August. Oh, okay. Pumalanga. Pumalanga, you told us of boreholes. Somebody has just said, I wonder how regular are those boreholes serviced, you know. And I wonder as to whether they are there. You know, when it was mentioned in Gengatuga, I just had the feeling that those boreholes are not there. Maybe they are just two or three, if I can just now visit Mpumalanga. And Bushbuck Ridge. I've been to Bushbuck Ridge, but not the whole area. Do you have semi-rural areas or clean rural areas in Bushbuck Ridge? I don't know how is it divided. And there was this, Inyaka Dam is supplying, or is, I don't know whether it's still going to supply, because there was such a story about that dam from the Bushbuck Ridge people, that it's not helping them at all. It doesn't supply water. And there was some story of the pipes are what, I don't know, stories. I think today I'll get the story because I did not understand. It couldn't just supply water. That was a big fight by some of the bushback people, the Inyakata. So what I liked, it's a comment. It's very good that you are dealing with the people who are breaking laws. I mean, by building dams unlawfully, and I wish you win all those cases, if really it's true that you have summoned them. I want. But at last, you see to it that you attend to poor water quality and wastewater discharge, because that is unacceptable for the people to drink water that is not clean. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I won't say much. This is my first day in this committee, and I don't know why have you called this special three provinces. So I was listening when the presentation was presented. I didn't hear anyone of the department talking or looking at the impact of the climate change on the water resource and the possible conflict over the scarcity water resources, more especially with the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. And also, what other options will the departments look at? In one of your presentations, especially the presentation of the Mpumalanga, I was worried when the presenter was saying that there are problems in boreholes, but the way he puts it, he said they are seeing problems to have boreholes, but other members alluded. I'm thinking that there are no problems to have boreholes because in some areas you can get water through boreholes, but really the problem is that how do you monitor? If we are saying that because these boreholes are sometimes have a disinfection, so what is your role? You must go and do those boreholes, but look at after those boreholes. I cannot agree that we are having a problem of having boreholes in some of areas. You just have an area where you'll be seeing that there are water here, but boreholes are needed. The fact is that look at those boreholes. And in also in your contribution from Mpumalanga, we are happy about the crime that we are looking at. But I wanted to check, what are you doing if Ubuti has just decided to build a dam without consulting you? Why were you not building the dam with the government? If somebody is doing that, I'm not saying that it's correct that he or she must do that illegally, but are you not feeling ashamed that individual did build a dam? Maybe you were short of funds that you cannot do that, just because it's an indication that this dam must be built, but not illegal. And then what are you doing about that? Cases about two that people, they just decided to build the dams, which will be assisting people, let alone that they are doing it illegal. It's a criminal. We cannot condone that. But what are you doing about that as a department?
Thank you, honorable members. Let me also add some my questions to the ones that the members have already asked. From the presenters, nobody spoke about this legal connection. I imagine in all your provinces, you do experience such connection. So how ripe is this situation, and what mechanism have you put in place to combat it? And again, the question of eradication of unlawful irrigation in Gauteng. What do you mean by that? I imagine people would think of some old ladies doing some food gardening in their own yard. Would you call that illegal irrigation or what? If you can just give us clarity on that. And also, on the Youth Water Users Association in Mpumalanga, I imagine that you might find that the composition of this Water Users Association is really not representative enough. For instance, in Los Coperia, I spoke of one association there, and that's where I'm coming from. I've never heard of people involved in such a Water Users Association. Maybe it's only those white farmers who are involved in it. So if you can also clarify us on that. And one other general question is that as sanitation is now being moved to human settlement, what plans are you having to make sure that these plans that you had in specific areas are not going to be discarded? And also again on Mpumalanga, what support are you giving specifically to the Kukune District Municipality regarding the Loskop Dam? Because I imagine there are some areas there around Loskop Dam which are not benefiting from that huge dam. So in supporting the district municipality there, what plans are you having to make sure that these people also do benefit from that dam? I think that would be all from me. So can I then hand over to the department to...
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the honorable members. Chair, I will just take general questions and then ask my colleagues to answer specific questions relating to their problems. A fundamental point was made that our presentations are good and the programs that we implement in as far as support is concerned are good programs, and if they were to be implemented as presented here, there would be progress. Indeed, that is a fact. And I think, Chair, the point that I would like to make here is, given the challenges at local government level, challenges that are not only relating to capacity, there is a need for all road players to play their part in supporting local government. You have, for instance, GTLT, which is now called COPTA, responsible for certain functions, responsible for ensuring that there is adherence to certain policies, that when municipalities hire people, they get the correct skills. They don't hire teachers, for instance, in technical positions. That is the responsibility of DLG. You have an organization like SALGA, that is a mere association that doesn't have the authority to play its role. SALGA's own chair is to make sure that there's proper governance at local government level. And if these role players are not doing their part, no matter what we do as a department, if we don't have the conducive environment, our efforts will not reach, or rather our efforts will not achieve the desired results. So, Chair, we really say, from our side, we're trying our level best, but we cannot afford just to focus on our core business, which is what we should be doing because we have limited funding. We need other role players to come on board. That is why the man and his youth structuring the meetings is very useful because it's bringing all road chairs who are participating in service delivery together to make sure that we have an integrated approach. The other general question that was asked that I would like to respond to is the one on climate change. Indeed, yes. There wasn't any mention on climate change. Maybe at a later stage, the committee may require us to do a presentation. But, Chair, the fact of the matter is we, as a department, we're in the process of developing a draft strategy on climate change. And I must admit that we are a little bit behind, given the developments and given the need for us to contribute to the overall national strategy that the Department of Environment is doing. Maybe at a later stage, we may want, given the nature of questions asked, we may want to come back to the committee and talk to you about the reconciliation studies, or rather studies, planning studies that we're doing, work that we're doing as a department to ensure water security in various parts of the country. Maybe that could be a dedicated session. I will ask Trevor to talk about the sanitation, the move of sanitation to human settlement. But if I can just say, currently there are plans in place. There's a unit that's ring-fenced within the department. It has its plans to implement, and I'm assuming that there will be a smooth transition. What will be the challenge is to make sure that there is integration of the sanitation plans with the overall human settlement strategy, but Trevor can say more, and then colleagues can take their specific questions.
Chair, thank you. Can I just come in on the sanitation one before we deal with the provinces, if I could? In terms of the transfer of the function, sanitation function to human settlements, the full component, all of the staff involved in the department who were involved on those sanitation delivery exercises and the budgets will be transferred to human settlements. So we would expect that those programs would continue. So even where we have put in bids to National Treasury for funding in the outer years of the MTF, that would then, if those funds are allocated, those funds would move to human settlements. So there isn't an expectation or an anticipation that the programs would stop once it moves there. There should be a seamless continuation of the programs. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Chair. I think I'll start with the most difficult one first. The question posed by Honourable Member Morgan on the acid mine drainage issue. I think we all know that we have a legacy of mining extending more than 100 years back, and environmental legislation and approaches not being in place at the time, which has led us to the situation where we are. This, of course, is exacerbated by the closing of many of these mines. We only have a few operating mines left that are mostly interconnected underground, and the few remaining mines now have to deal with the legacy of all the others in terms of directly dealing with decant. Now, the problem has really manifested itself much more pronouncedly over the last few years, especially on the Western Basin side, where you refer to the others as well, the Eastern Central Basin all over, but if we can just deal with the Western Basin at this stage, which is the focus of your question. It started decanting in the Western Basin a few years ago, ran down the Tweelope Spruits. The water just appeared on surface, and there were lots of reports on threats to the cradle of humankind and the like. You will recall all of this. Now, at the time, we, as a matter of urgency, intervened and issued directives to the three operating concerns at the time to deal with the issue. Now, they had, we obviously couldn't have a watertight long-term arrangement in place as an emergency measure. So we agreed and issued directives with them at something that they could manage at the time in terms of treating the water to a specific, to an acceptable or fairly acceptable quality and then discharging it, but dealing with most of the water in the rest of their processes at the time. But as part of that whole process, we and in the directives we issued, we also issued directives to them to address this problem in the medium to long term as well, not just in the short term. And the proposal by the Western Utilities Corporation that has now been tabled as a response to this. This is just as a background for the other members. And their proposal boils down to collecting not just the water in the Western Basin, but to bring that water into what we call the central basin. It speaks for itself, more in the central part of South Johannesburg. When I talk about basins, I'm talking about underground mining voids that's been created by mining. And then to treat this more centrally on a larger scale, more economically, and to unsell this water to Rand Water. Now, very large sums of money and a lot of time and effort has been invested in this proposal that has been tabled with the minister and with the department earlier in the year. And looking at it at face value, it's a sound approach, self-funding, or so they say. And it's self-funding in the sense, and also they'll be bringing in mostly overseas funding and capital for this, also for running it. So in principle, it sounds very good, and there is a government task team dealing with dewatering and long-term management of mine water, and the task team from a technical point of view, and just a pure financial point of view, is also in support of this proposal, but that doesn't necessarily take all the issues into account. And when this proposal was put to the department earlier in the year, a number of issues had been raised around the long-term sustainability. If you allow this one company to come in and deal with this, remember the government itself also has a certain liability in terms of all the mines. So it's really a partner and can't just stand outside of such an arrangement. It's a partner and may in future find itself compromised in terms of its own long-term planning. So it must make sure that whatever proposals are tabled fits in with the department's and government's long-term approaches. The other issue that was raised was that, with all due respect, the Western Utilities Company wanted support, very direct and unconditional support from government for them to leverage funding. And a lot of the feasibility of this proposal hinges on selling the water to Rand Water at a specific tariff. And they worked out from their side what they needed. And that's not necessarily what Rand Water is willing to pay. And the government is in the situation where it cannot just, based on the information available at the moment, so to speak, force Rand Water into such an agreement. Rand Water is a partner, a very important partner, and it's not just a costing issue. There are also quality issues, long-term sustainability issues, safety of water supply to its own users, feeding it into the system. There are lots of other technical issues. So it's both technical and financial issues to Rand Water for a very, very long term. So those issues do need to be addressed. Another aspect that was raised was that this is a proposal by a company acting on behalf of the mine, but there are other institutions and other organizations indicating that they would also be interested because they see this as a business, as a very good long-term business. So apart from the issues I've raised up till now, there's also this issue as to equitability in this. Should the process not be opened and these proposals invited from other possible organizations, institutions, or companies, so at least government can illustrate that it's even-handed in this and don't just have a preferred partner that it goes for. Those are the issues, the type of issues that are being addressed at the moment. There is interaction between Western Utilities Corporation and the department around this, but it's receiving very high-level attention directly at DG and DDG level, not just in the department, but also in Minerals and Energy and the other related departments. I trust that deals. Thank you. Honourable Chair, shall I go on and deal with some of the other issues while I'm busy here? There was also the question of punishing mines that decant or discharge substandard quality water, and what initiatives do we engage in. This is really an ongoing process that we have with all of the mines. The standard or the quality of required quality of discharge is stipulated in license conditions. These licenses are updated from time to time, revised from time to time, and we engage with the mines on this on a continuous basis. And in those cases where they do not comply, we issue them directives to comply, and usually we then get good results. There was a question, who are the major consumer or consumers of water from the Vaal River system in Gauteng? In Gauteng, there's no doubt it's the urban and industrial and mining sector. Just to put some perspective to this, out of the around 2,000 million cubic meters of water made available from the Vaal River system every year, about 1,500 million cubic meters is used just through Rand Water supply. And Rand Water, by definition, supplies the urban and industrial and mining areas. Perhaps still keeping with the system-related or water resource-related questions. There was a question, how many dams and what does the Vaal system entail? And quite frankly, I can't tell you off the top of my head. It's such a complex system with so many dams and so many linkages between these dams that you have to count them every time. Suffice it to say that we're getting water from Lesotho through Katsi Dam at this stage and Moali Dam, and from the Tugela through Witstok Dam into Sterkfontein, and those are the main feeder dams for Vaal Dam, which then supplies this area. But there are many other dams further east along the escarpment where we import water from KZN to parts of the upper Vaal, to Eskom and Sasol, and these dams, and that part of the system is directly linked to Vaal Dam and to the rest of the system. So it all forms part of the same system, and then there are further dams downstream. So in a nutshell, directly from the Lesotho and Tugela and through Vaal Dam, through those dams I've mentioned, but then indirectly with a whole host of others that are all interlinked. Trust that addresses the question. Then the issue of related to this climate change, there has already been a response to this, but just from a technical point of view, in terms of the actual supply of water. Suffice it to say that we have an extremely sophisticated model that we've developed over many years, since the early 80s. to analyze this very complex foul river system. And a very important component of it is what we call the hydrological modeling, that really is a way of using rainfall records to determine how much runoff there will be, which would then determine what you could hope to get out of the system. Now, in this modeling, we do take account of extreme variations in rainfall and runoff. And we are comfortable at this stage that we are catering for any, even more than just normally foreseen, changes or extreme changes in the rainfall and runoff. And of course, these models are upgraded very regularly, updated based on data that we gather on a continuous basis. The eradication of illegal irrigation and who it's aimed at, I'm sorry if I hadn't made it clear, but I didn't spend much time on it. This is a topic on its own. Suffice it to say that certainly, Honourable Member and that asked the question, and also the Honourable Chair, we will not target social projects, food gardens, things like that. This is aimed at your commercial farmers. The question, of course, that always arises is, now, if it's illegal, why don't you just go and catch them and lock them up? But it's not that simple. First of all, establishing beyond any doubt whether a use is legal or illegal is an extremely complex process, technically and legally, that takes a long, long time to work through. Because we cannot afford to take people to court, which is where we land up in the end, unless we have, so to speak, watertight cases. We can't afford to lose these cases. Then we create precedents, and that's the last thing we can afford. So we're putting a lot of effort into addressing that, but that is really for your bigger guys, the commercial farmers. I trust I've dealt with. I'll just check. I trust I've dealt with the questions. There was another one on capacity for wastewater treatment works and EIAs around this and water provisioning, the state of that in Gauteng. I think I've indicated that in terms of the bulk water supply situation, this is by far, I would say, the best managed system, if I can say that, in the country in terms of its history. This is where we started with the very sophisticated ways in analyzing availability of water and making provision well in advance for it. And I've outlined the measures. The fact that we, on the face of it, are running into problems now is not because of a lack of planning. It's just because we can't afford to keep on building dams before we've implemented other measures like water conservation, demand management, illegal use. Those things you've got to do anyway. You cannot just keep on going further afield to bring in water to the area. In terms of the direct supply and wastewater treatment works and dealing with that in Gauteng, I indicated the fairly large percentage of wastewater treatment works under capacity. It's not as though nothing is happening on that front. Quite a number of the municipalities and those were the so-called problem works in terms of capacity are all working on their planning and design, of course, starting with feasibility studies and the environmental impact assessments would form part of that. Generally speaking, the problem is not getting plans in place in Gauteng, because we've got the three metros which cover most of the area. The problem is funding. And prioritization of these works more than getting plans in place. We do assist the smaller municipalities in this regard. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Sir, it's a vulnerable goal.
Your
presentation was too long, so I ask your response.
You
You want to add something?
Yes, just a few, Chairperson. The issues around the pooling, what's the problem there? I think the issues of old aging infrastructure in the Rensburg, Louisville, and Spokane wastewater treatment plant are contributing to these problems of the vast villages. We do have also a capacity problem for the waste that is coming from lower Joburg part, that is coming straight to Spokane. It does add some problems there. And then also the issues around operation and maintenance, and also the staff members that live now and then. So there are issues with Mpuleni that leads to certain problems, but we are working with them in terms of resolving them. The issue around women, the project is for women, and it's aimed at really rescuing the HIV and AIDS orphans around Everton. It's even in Everton. If honorable members, we can visit the site. It's a nice project in terms of both vegetable supply and fruit supply for the AIDS orphans. It's EU funded, and it was under the auspices of gender mainstreaming. So that's why it's led by women. I think there was also the issue of... Sorry, Chairperson, we are water resources and water sector support, so sometimes some of the issues we can put together. The issue around capacity building. We do have short-term interventions, as you have seen, the water conservation, water demand issues, and drinking water qualities, and the process that we have to embark on training process controllers. But we have also done interviews with tertiary institutions around housing, what capacity they can bring in water and sanitation. I think in our next session, we'll deal more with the outcome of the study. But what is lacking there is really the budget to take the program forward. But we have tabled the issue on our skills in Daba, and with various sector stakeholders, we'll deal with this the long-term sustainable skills in Gauteng, because there was an indication from the tertiary institution that there is a possible project that we can implement around this. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Gauteng is very busy, and KZN is a stretch of rural communities, so it's very sparse. We'll try and move very quickly. Honorable Chair, there are a few questions. The one of them is about wastewater treatment works, whether there is a service level agreement between Sisonke and Kokstad Municipality, Honorable Man. I cannot for sure confirm whether there is a service level agreement, but in terms of the legislation, Sisonke is the water service authority. So they've got the responsibility to ensure that all water services related matters within the area of their operation is taken care of by them. I am aware that Kokstad at some point thought that it had the capacity to run the water services business on its own, and they had intended to apply for a status to become a WSA, like many other municipalities in the province that are aspiring to do that. I think that on its own should say to us probably a decision on the determination of powers and functions for local government should be revisited in terms of how it had happened. So you find that most of the challenges emanate from that problem, that other municipalities think they can better deliver service than the others. So the situation around the Crystal Spring Dam, I may not be precisely aware of its status currently, but Sisonke is responsible for everything that happened in that area. What we've done with regard to the Kokstad wastewater treatment works in particular, an intervention funding has been made by the department, and we've allocated 21 million rand towards this project, but we know that the project requires about 59 million rand for it to be sorted out in terms of upgrading and refurbishment. We have engaged with the Department of Correctional Services so that they could make a contribution towards this. Because if you recall, that prison that is sitting there cannot be utilized right now because of the challenge, water availability, the sustainability of the system, and the wastewater treatment works. Mm-hmm. So the situation as it stands is like that. In terms of the percentage of wastewater treatment works that are of a challenge in the province, we're looking at more or less 50% of all treatment works operating beyond their design capacity in the province. Because some of them are situated in more or less rural areas, one, they are aging in terms of the infrastructure itself. Secondly, as people migrate to these towns, then the capacity of usage increases over the design capacity, so you've got a problem that's sitting there. What we are also doing in that same token, I want to link it up to the honorable member that followed this member. The incorporation of Umzimkhulu into Sisonke, I specifically responded, made a presentation on the general support that we give to local government. It wasn't necessarily on specific matters. But one can be in a position to say that we've supported that process of incorporation. If you will recall, member, that Umzimkhulu, when it came into Sisonke, it also had challenges around the bucket system of sanitation. We had assisted in that process and it has been cleared. The backlog on bucket system has been cleared in Umzimkhulu. The second thing that we're trying to do in terms of availability of water, and that is I want to link that with Umgeni River system. We are currently working on the augmentation of the Umgeni River system, where at the beginning of next year, that is January 2010, there will be a Spring Grove Dam, the construction of which will be starting, and the expected completion date is year 2012. And there is also a feasibility study that is underway right now with regard to Umkomazi Dam, and we're looking at the two rivers of Umzimkhulu and Umkomazi in terms of how we can benefit the areas of Sisonke. And there's also a feasibility study that is being undertaken of the possible Bulwa Dam, so that you can be able to serve that entire area of Sisonke, including Uku, going downwards. But also what is happening around Umzimkhulu, there is a regional bulk water scheme that we're putting up at the value of 200 million rand through Umgeni Water. Umshabajan. That scheme there is going to be coming up. I think it's one of the projects that are under implementation. The major water consumers or users in KZN, mainly it's irrigation, commercial farmers, and industry, and of course the urban like cities like Umsunduzi and Ethekwini. What you have mainly is then in the Umgeni River system, there's also a lot of illegal water use that we're now verifying to try and deal with. But there's also a resurgence of mining in KZN that we're looking at, which we might need on the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal, which might need a lot more water, and which will pose more challenges in terms of the quality of water going forward. The question around the community involvement in particular, what we do in the region of KZN, we take cues from the legislation. If you look at the Municipal Systems Act, if I'm not mistaken, Chapter 5, it talks about community participation. And we, particularly on water services, we make use of constitutional or legislative structures or forums to ensure that people participate in the delivery of services. So municipalities have got water committees that have got a duty to deal with matters pertaining to water as business. Secondly, we are supporting local government in terms of water services development planning. I talked about planning earlier on. And here, communities are involved as well. You then have a situation where we have said in one of the slides, we've got what we call a water sector or forum, where you've got civic organizations, civil society organizations, and NGOs participating, and traditional leaders, mainly representing the interests of communities that they lead. Then you have a in terms of water resources management, what we call water user associations in terms of the National Water Act.
those that are created in terms of the Water Act, of the National Water Act, and the transformation of irrigation ports into water user association. A classical example where a water user association has been seen to be an effective tool that we can utilize to manage water better. In March or April this year, we did a flood release from the Jozini, the Opongola port dam, but it was an emergency flood release. What had happened in the process was what people do after a release in September, October, then they get into the floodplain and plant their crops there. So if you release before time, then you're going to wash away their crops. So what had happened because of the emergency, that had actually happened. But we then engaged with the Water User Association to deal with the impact of that flood in such a way that we had negotiated with them, but they had taken a position to say we're not going to release for September, for October, at the end of September, but we've eventually agreed. So that's how they get involved in terms of how we're dealing with this thing. And of course, the other involvement is on the ground that the food security program of the province is not going to work unless you've got involvement of communities in terms of water and land-related matters. So that's what that's how we bring them in. The issue of recruitment in terms of capacity, we've engaged with the University of KwaZulu-Natal and the University of Zululand in terms of ensuring that there are some skills or capacity available to the water sector in general, not the department, but municipalities as well, working hand in hand with them. But look, that arrangement is still very much at a teething stage. But we also benefit from the Learning Academy of the department nationally, where graduates are recruited into the system for about 2 to 4 to 3 years, and then they're dispersed to various regions so that they can capacitate us in assisting our processes. And the process controller training program, KZN, like many other, like all other regions, is actually participating in that process. The question on poverty alleviation, we have got a Working for Water program. A Working for Water program has two objectives. One objective is to ensure that there is more water available in the system where they clear. The second objective is to make sure that there is alleviation of poverty. So that is why people are given short-term jobs. They work and then they get out and others come in. So that's what we make use of. But also about a year ago, we started a program called the Integrated Water Resources Management Phase 2 in particular, but it started in other regions. What we do is saying, how do you use water to ensure that there is food security? Now, that was before the adoption of a priority of government around agrarian revolution and rural development. So what we have done over the past year is to preempt what was going to come, and therefore our program is going to fit into the priority of government in ensuring that there is food security, which is now led by the premier of the province. There is also the River Health program. We have started the launch on Mandela Day around Umsunduzi, at Umsunduzi River with Sanko and other community organizations that have had an interest in the municipalities. And generally what we do with that program is we identify a river that requires cleaning because it is polluted or otherwise. If you look at Umsunduzi River and the famous Duzi Marathon, it will be critical that you keep that river in a state that is acceptable, and therefore we make use of people locally to ensure that that program succeeds. And we've moved to areas like Newcastle, where we're dealing with the Ngandu River and others. And that was started even before that. It was in April or so. The question on whether KZN is characterized by semi-rural or rural communities. KZN mainly is deep rural. If you go to places like Abu Msinga, Inkandla, Kwahlabisa, and many other areas, Ezinqoleni and others in the south coast, generally, KwaNongoma, KZN is deep rural. And yes, it's true that KZN still has areas where people share water with animals. And it's also a fact that KZN has areas where you can't find water easily through drilling of boreholes, like Umsinga, for instance, the topography that doesn't allow it. So you got those challenges, but there have been intervention programs. In some areas, there's been water tankering, for instance, you cut water to some areas. Hence, we are faced with a challenge right now. I'm told that Umkhanyakude is looking for 16 million rand from us, whilst we have no funding for drought relief because they are cutting water to the rest communities. And those are the challenges that we are faced with. So KZN is very deep. We are supporting the spring protection program right now, and we've just established in areas like Mbongolwane in Nkandla, where people have decided to make use of their own money to support the availability of water in those areas. Yes, the issue of the relationship between municipalities and the trust fund or its privately owned land, I think it's a problem that exists across the country. Areas like Slobosch, Mbabane, and Denleg around Newcastle and Dannhauser are affected. The relationship is there, but what the municipalities are trying to do is to secure land from these landowners. It would be very difficult, and there is no policy in government that says you must go and invest in a privately owned piece of land. So either landowners make this land available to local government, or some plans have been done, particularly around the area of Slobosch. But there can be no movement because the land is owned privately. And others agree and others don't agree, so they block there. And this is what people say from time to time when you meet with them, that when it comes to elections, we are known that we will go and vote after the elections. Everyone remembers that we're living in a privately owned land, so it makes life difficult. So some action needs to be taken. In fact, I am done because the other questions bear no relevance to KZN. Yes.
Members who are interested in attending to some of the names for the second. It's Edison, Radisson Hotel, Waterfront. So what? Cracker Bay in town. Okay, that's it. Bumalanga?
Thank you, Ramon.
Yes, probably
never
find these people.
I can see, I'm already in the car. But I'll try just to touch on some of the issues. I've managed to touch some of them.
On the issue of the water board, yes, what we picked up was that infrastructure development suffers a lot when budgets are not spent. So if we divert this money to water boards, which we envisage them to be efficient in terms of infrastructure development, it will be cheaper and much quicker. I mean, there is some benefits to using a public entity in development of bulk infrastructure. Vis-a-vis, like one example, Delmas, what we have done, it's a co-funded project. We've brought in MIG money. We brought in bulk infrastructure money, that local government brought in MIG. We brought in the bulk infrastructure funding. Then the water board brought in some money. So we are able now to put that pipeline, 85 million rand pipeline. So that will make even the cost of the water much cheaper than the money being borrowed directly to build the infrastructure. So that's an approach we are taking in terms of infrastructure development. Then on the issue of, in terms of decant water, we will touch on that. Yes, we already have one plant in Witbank, Malahleni, which is up and running, and that we were part of it between the municipality. That water is being sold to the municipality. There's another one that was done by Anglo. There's another one that is being envisaged around Steve Chwete. Mm-hmm. Negotiations are ongoing. Then on the issue of capacity building, I think my colleagues have touched a little bit on that, but we must also bear in mind, remember, that we've got Limpopo. There is a school which is mainly that dealing with Bachelor of Science in Water and Sanitation, which is developing people that can be able to assist in this project, and we've got quite a number of those people coming from that institution in Limpopo. And then on the Tembisile, the issue again of the shortage of water and the plans to overcome that. What we have done is that the water board was just doing the management at that time. They were not given the direct responsibility to take over the operation, to take over the control. But this time, we want to give them more control. They were just doing the management, the water balancing and etc. And the issue, I think we did say in our slide that there is water conservation and management. One of the pilots is Tembisile. Tembisile, we know the problem. There is a lot of wastage. And that's our approach, to have community members which would be trained to take over some of the control of the water. This goes in hand also with the issue of the boreholes. Who is going to maintain the boreholes? This is where we are saying, where we are drilling boreholes, community members must take ownership, because the municipality cannot have people all over. Take ownership, and then we can be able to create cooperatives there that will enter into service level agreements with the municipality. So if something breaks, they are trained, they are at a level of fixing it at that level. And also the issue of building a dam around Tembisile is Kukune. Yes. You remember, that we've got the Cullinan pipeline, which brought in water from Mamelodi. So around Western Hassa, we've got more than 100 megaliters currently available. The other one is coming from Bronkhorstspruit Dam. The other one is coming from Kombo Dam, plus the Cullinan pipeline, which is bringing currently 30 megaliters. So the only issue around that area is water conservation demand management, which must be implemented. If you look at the population vis-a-vis 100 megaliters a day, I mean, we're supplying more than what we're supposed to be supplying. That area needs about 60, 70 megaliters a day, and the whole area of Western Highlands can be properly served. In terms of Inyaka Dam assisting the municipality from Loskop, yes, we've issued, they had an allocation of 2.5 million liters all along, which they never took up. We added another 1.5 million liters, so they have a right to use 4 megaliters in terms of putting the package plant to supply the areas of Mutle, and they've received that letter. Then in terms of the installation of meters and dealing with, dealt with that, that will be the water conservation demand management. And also, what we have seen around Mpumalanga in terms of the borehole, once you give the ownership to the people, people own it and capacitate them how to fix it, and linking them to the municipality. It's already working in some of the areas where the municipality cannot have capacity to reach that area. Bushbuck Ridge is a, I'll call it, it's a full rural area. I mean, there is no economic hub around Bushbuck Ridge. It's mainly around Poliane, where you've got a few shops and a taxi rank. The rest is pure rural, with no economic generation at all. And their only sole survival, even for employment, is as far as Nelspruit and White River, with the nearest town. I think I've covered most of them. And then the issue of the dams, the building of the dams. These are dams that are built by farmers. Farmers have certain rights to build specific dams to catch the water for irrigation. But if they go beyond board to catch more than what their allocation is, these are types of the dams that we are fighting. It's not dams for communities. We've got enough dams for communities, but these are dams that they want to catch more water than what they've been allocated. And then in terms of the issue of legal connection, the issue of the water conservation demand management is addressing the issues of illegal connection. Because part of it is we remove the illegal connection. If you are a high user, we put a meter, and then we start metering. In Komazi already, there is a project that will bring an income of about 1.7 million a month from just high users, car washes, hospitals, schools, and other businesses that are dealing with water. Excluding households, it will be generating about 1.7, especially the car washes, where all of us go and wash our cars and pay 25 rand. And then the other one was the whether the Water Use Association, are they represented properly. Yes, we try our best to make sure that there's representation, but you only find that, especially the one, we started with the one, but we've got problems with others, whereby we cannot find stakeholders to be represented in those ones. That's why some of them in Mpumalanga are still called irrigation boards. We're talking of Noordkamp, Mkomazi, Malelane, and etc. We are still in that process of trying to transform those irrigation boards to become water use association. And then I think the issue of plantation has been touched on. Yeah, I think Loskop will touch on. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, members. We are left with only 10 minutes, so I don't think it would be justice to give members some follow-up questions. Unless if you only make one follow-up question each. We are really running out of time. Mr. Morgan.
Thank you for indulging me, Chairperson. I do have one follow-up, and it's a specific one for Mpumalanga. And I want to know if there is any specific engagement that your department in Mpumalanga is taking with the issue of the Blue Ridge Mine in Groblersdal. It's a, I think it's a prominent, very, very prominent mine, and I get a huge amount of correspondence about that particular mine, about alleged transgressions, oil being dumped in the felt, and various other and discharges and stuff. Is it some, is it a problem mine for you? And do you regularly send water inspectors there to assess it, or is this issue or particularly new to that? Most importantly, off the top of your head, do they have a water license, and are they operating according to the terms of it?
Honourable Member, definitely I wouldn't be specific which one, but we've got a very efficient session of compliance in our, and I can do a follow-up to check. If there's anything wrong, our technicians are always on the ground. Definitely, I know we might have issued a notice if we are aware of it, and we might have issued already a directive to them, because I'm seeing about 3-4 directives a week that we are signing out.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I must really agree with members that these were really very good presentations, and also the engagements thereof were very much superb. But I must mention that beyond these challenges faced by our municipalities in terms of capacity and skill shortages, there are a number of challenges relating to water problems in South Africa now are symptoms of a gap between national policies and the implementation of those policies. And therefore, I think our focus should be on the following issues. One, the drive to achieve universal access to water and sanitation. Secondly, the institutional coordination. And of course, the role of the department as the regulator. Therefore, I think this committee needs to engage the department in future on these issues. And of course, the regional offices included. So we have to engage with the department on this in future to make sure that we really deal with these issues. On that note, members, I would really like to thank the department for coming down to brief us on their support to local municipalities, and hope to see you again in the near future. Thank you very much. Members of the ANC should remain behind.